welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. Mark the Villainer, your host for an hour of comedy. Later on, a classic episode of the Jack Benny program from 1938. But first, it's the Bob Hope Show, broadcast on the battleship South Dakota. This NBC episode from October 16th, 1945.
Bob Hope! Gosh, it's warm. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob. Now, hear this. Broadcasting on the deck of the battleship South Dakota in San Francisco Harbor, Hope. Yes, sir. Well, tonight we're on the battleship South Dakota. South Dakota, that's a Japanese term meaning run fast, Mitsui, or get large bullet and kimono tail. The South Dakota really sits low in the water. In fact, every time a high sea comes up, the crew starts drawing submarine pay. And the discipline aboard ship is very strict. No girls after 10 o'clock. They told me last week that the fellas up here love me and would like to see me broadcast in the bay, but I finally talked them into putting a ship under me. And I feel right at home here in the bay. In fact, my brother is just a rock's throw from here. Told me he was going to swim over, but I guess those vines have tender guards. I really wanted to spend a typical day with these sailors, but they didn't have any extra paintbrush for me. Yes, sir, these guys paint so much they spit turpentine. When Kelowna stepped on board, one guy ran up from force of habit and dipped his mustache in a bucket of red lead. But it's very comfortable aboard. These fellas sleep in bunks. You know what a bunk is. That's a dehydrated orange crate. I slept in one of those bunks last night, and I won't say it was crowded, but every time the guy next to me turned over, I had to get out of bed and wait for his hip to go by. And I went to mess with these boys tonight, and they really got a wonderful system in the Navy. Instead of putting things on separate plates, they just pile the meat and potatoes and dessert all in one dish. Then they pour your coffee over it. Way you don't have to eat it, you just inhale it through a funnel. And I don't know if these guys have ravenous appetites or not, but after the meal was over, four sailors were saluting with only three fingers. What appetites. I felt someone unlacing my shoe, and when I looked under the table, a chowhound was putting mustard on my big toe. Thank you. Francis Langford, right here.
If I loved you time and again, I would try to say all I want you to know.
Francis Langford singing If I Loved You. That was wonderful. I knew these fellas would like you, Francis.
What made you so sure, Bob?
Well, it's been such a long time since they've seen a dish that isn't dehydrated. Say, that's a new dress you're wearing, isn't it, Francis?
Yes, huh? Bob. I call this my battleship dress.
Yeah, well, it certainly shows plenty of superstructure. No, that's a wonderful thing. And you're having quite a time on board, aren't you? Say, what were you doing on the bridge this afternoon?
Oh, one of the officers was just showing me how to box the compass.
Really? Where are they sending it?
Oh, he was an awfully sweet boy.
Oh, wait for that jazzy joke. Don't run into that. Where are they sending it? Woo-hoo! Go now.
Well, he was an awfully sweet boy. After we finished boxing the compass... I told you.
I know.
After we finished...
Boying the boxing is all right,
boxing the compass.
Too. If he gets stuck, throw it in there anyway. It's all right.
He took me up to show me the moon.
He took you up to show you the moon, huh?
Mm.
Forward?
Well, you know these Navy men.
I should never expect a straight line from a figure like that.
Hiya, gang. What's the latest scuttlebutt?
Well, here's Skinny Ennis. How about you, Skinny boy? How you feel? You got your bones squared away? Say ya. Are you just visiting Skinner, or has this ship got a skeleton crew?
Say, Skinny, isn't this exciting, broadcasting from a battleship?
Sure is, Francis. In commemoration of this visit, I had half of the South Dakota tattooed on my chest.
Only half? What happened, Skinny? Did the man run out of ink?
No, Francis. Skinny ran out of chest. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me a real thrill to present one of the many great heroes of the Third Fleet. An outstanding flyer whose courage and daring as an air group commander won him the Navy Cross, Distinguished Flying Cross, Legion of Merit, and the Congressional Medal of Honor. The Navy's leading ace, Commander Dave McCampbell. That's you, David, right there. Wasn't that a swell thing,
Thank
huh?
you, Bob.
That's all right.
Too.
You can tell he's in the South, can't you, huh? Nobody's going to rush him ever. Looks like he's waiting around the oven for the corn pone or something.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Bob.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I'm sure these fellas are, too.
Do you really think so, Bob?
Sure. After all, it's quite a novelty for them to sit and watch a commander work. But I guess you'll be getting out soon, huh?
No, Bob, I'm in the regular Navy. It's my career just like radio is your career.
Uh-huh.
I was schooled and prepared for this war, just like you prepare all week long for your Tuesday night program. That's your war.
My radio program, war? You're kidding. I got these scars in vaudeville. Say, tell me, Commander McCampbell, where do you hail from?
Well, Bob, I was raised in Florida.
Really? And how old were you when you came to the United States? It was different, but the Chamber of Commerce got to me.
Bob, you've been in Florida. Tell me, what's the difference between a Florida girl and a California girl?
Well, when you squeeze a Florida girl, orange juice comes out of her ears.
And what happens when you squeeze a California girl?
A lawyer comes out from behind the sofa and sues you for breach of promise. Have to hurry with that, boy.
Well, I like Florida, Bob. In fact, I took my training at Pensacola, became a carrier pilot, then a landing signal officer.
Mm-hmm.
Sweating in those planes was no cinch either. And those new fighter planes, they take a lot of handling.
Well, I always thought it was easy riding around the sky in one of those things.
Do you know anyone who flies, Bob?
Well, I have a nodding acquaintance with W.C. Fields. I nod, then he nods, and I pick him up again. Say, but tell me, David, now that the war is over, what do you plan to do?
I don't know exactly. I'm afraid I'm just about through combat flying.
Through flying. Have you met Francis Langford yet, huh?
Gee, Commander, did I hear you say you were from Florida?
That's right, Francis.
So you're a Florida cracker?
Yep, I'm a Florida cracker.
Gee, I love crackers.
I go for crackers myself.
Can a crumb get in here edgewise?
I'm from West Palm Beach, Florida, Francis.
Really? I'm from Lakeland, Florida. We're neighbors.
Neighbors? Well, honey child, I'm coming over to borrow a little sugar.
Yeah. Wait, I'll get my ration book and hat and go with you.
You know, Francis, I think you ought to keep your eye on this guy.
Oh, why, Bob? Can't you see he's got the good conduct ribbon on?
Yeah, but he's wearing it a half mast.
Francis, can we go somewhere where we could be alone?
Well, we are now, practically.
How about letting me, say, show you around the ship?
Now, listen, Dave, I can show Francis around. I know all about everything in this ship. Watch, Francis, I'll demonstrate the controls on this turret.
Careful, Bob. Those guns are loaded.
Oh, I know what I'm doing. I'll sweep them around.
Watch out, Bob. You're aiming at the top of the mark.
I know what I'm doing, Francis. Well, the top of the mark looks good in the bottom, too.
Thank you for having the cabin. Thank you very much. Thank you, boy. Here's the request number right here. Derek Colonna.
Was a little lad on my daddy's knee. He'd always ask me what I'd like to be. I want to be a sailor and put out to sea. But there's just one thing that always, always troubled me. It's those bells on trousers, called the Navy Blue. With a swabber and a mop. From a seaman third class, I worked my way on top. Now I'm captain of a ship, and striped from here to there. I'm as happy as can be, cause I don't have to wear any bell bottom
trousers for the Navy Blue.
Say, look, there's the SS Colonna now. I'll signal it.
Ahoy!
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 Not much of an ad libber, is he?
Colonna, this is ridiculous. Where's your bosun's mate?
Home with the bosun's kids. Hey, you have to excuse me now. My men are out at sea, and I have to get the message to them by signals. I'm going topside to wag-wag.
Colonna, you mean wig-wag.
Wag-wag.
Wig-wag.
Wag-wag.
Wig-wag.
Listen, it's my tail, and I'll do what I want with it. If I'm the bowman's matter class, don't try to blame it upon my span. Blame it on those big bell batter pants.
Well, Bob, here we are, a couple of sailors back on good old U.S. soil. You going to kiss the ground?
No, I ain't going to waste my pucker on anything non-essential. Let's call up some local 4-0s, huh? There's a phone booth. Someone's in it that I'll squeeze in. Oop, pardon me, sailor. Oops, and pardon me, ma'am. Operator, give me Dunbar, 0656.
Hello.
Hello, Maisie. This is Bob Hope. I got to see you.
But I'm married now and have 5 children.
Yeah, that's what I got to see you about. I need the points. Well, I'll try my next number. Hello? Hello? Am I nervous? Hello? Is this Luscious Lips? Say your honey boy is home and he just can't wait to see you.
Oh, Bob, you're getting my face all wet.
Skinny, get out of here and find another booth. I'll call my ritzy Knob Hill number. Hello, operator. Will you give me simply 2222?
Gee, Bob, if she lives on Knob Hill, she must be a debutante.
Yeah, I bet she's got a butler and everything. Hello, is that you, Rosebud Lips? Here's a big kiss for you.
Thank you, sir. Now, whom did you wish to speak to?
I'll take a jive. Hello.
Oh, hello. Is this the snob of the knob?
Yes. Is this the deadbeat of the fleet?
Look, this is one of those handsome sailors just home from the war. How about you and me getting squared away, baby, and we'll drop anchors together tonight.
Well, you sound rather cute. Maybe I could squeeze you in.
Never mind that. Just get me in. I'll do the squeezing.
Well, I'd like to, but I've got a date with a soldier tonight. Goodbye.
She's got a date with a soldier. How do you like that? They'll be going out with civilians next. She can't do this to me. I'll go up there. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Taxi!
Coming! Coming! Safety cab, sir? Come on, now.
Will you take me to the Mog Mog Apartments on Knob Hill? It's a lovely little rest island in the South Pacific. I want to go up there right away.
I'll just bet we're going to see a little girlsy-worlsy.
How can you tell?
By the way, you're droolsy-woolsy.
Well, hop in, Hope. What do you want, the 50-cent ride or the dollar ride?
What's the difference?
For the dollar ride, I put the wheels on.
Professor, whenever I look at you, I can only think of a nice, quiet, padded cell in the booby hatch.
I know how it is, Hope. I've been homesick myself.
Where we turn. This is the corner.
Well, I'll put my hand out. Long fingernails.
Professor, you just became eligible for the rating of imbecile, third class.
Thanks, Ensign.
Well, stop, Colonna. Here's the house. You wait here while I go knock.
Yes?
Oh, hiya, Bub. I'm Robert Hope. Shake hands.
Beg pardon, sir. I am the footman.
Okay, let's shake feet.
Who is it, Jive?
Oh, hiya, honey.
Poor, you better leave. My date will be here any minute.
Your date?
What kind of stuff is that?
Announcing the Don Juan of the Presidio. The world's greatest lover. The man who drives women mad.
Who are you? Or is that an embarrassing question?
Oh, I'm Private Sad Sack.
Well, what do you want, brother?
Well, I came here to pick up my I came here to see France. Is your daughter in, Mrs. Langford?
Bob, Private Sad Sack is a San Francisco socialite.
Oh, I don't believe you're in society at all, Sack. Tell me, how'd you ever get up here on Knob Hill?
Well, you see, I was born in my family are a very old settler. And I own the whole I was left here by a high tide.
You sure talk funny.
Oh yes, it's awful. You know, yesterday I started vibrating like this while I was kissing a girl.
You started vibrating like that while you were kissing her? What happened?
Oh, she was horrified. She was very she was mortified. She loved it.
Well, what do you see in Frances anyway, Sack?
Oh, well, you see, she has such beautiful... her hair, her big blue Are you kidding?
Say, Hope, my taxi cab is still waiting. Are you coming down with your girl, or shall I get one and come up?
Hello, Professor. This is Private Sad Sack.
Hello.
Yeah, the city this size and no dog catcher.
Come on, take us all down to the dock, Colonna. We'll go back to the South Dakota for dinner.
Okay, hop in.
Okay, Colonna, stop. We're here.
Oh, Hope, don't be silly. I'll take you right up on the deck.
Colonna, the South Dakota's 3 miles out at sea.
So what, Hope? I got high-powered gas in my cab. We'll just hop across. Here we go. nobody would have believed it anyway.
Well, that's all for the Bob Hope Show. And now in the brief time remaining, let's go over to Sweet's Ballroom in Oakland, California, for the Jump King of Swing, Lionel Hampton and his orchestra.
The Bob Hope Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, from October 16, 1945 on NBC, and broadcast from the battleship South Dakota. The Second World War had wrapped up 2 months prior to that, but it wasn't like a light switch where everyone could immediately go home. To that end, the war effort was still on in many ways, with conservation, also reconstruction, and the support needed for the thousands of troops at home and abroad. Bob Hope headed up that effort in many ways, clocking tens of thousands of miles during the Second World War to boost troop morale. Even a month prior to the broadcast, he appeared in episodes heard overseas of the GI Journal and Command Performance Armed Forces radio shows, and was heard on a special broadcast called the Victory Chest Program, which was dedicated to the beginnings of the National Victory War Chest Fund, created for that reconstruction at home and overseas. And he was joined by entertainers like Frank Sinatra, Francis Langford, Gene Autry, and it was hosted by Orson Welles. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now it's Jack Benny on the air from January 2nd, 1938, an NBC Red Network broadcast.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Don't Cry, Sweetheart, Don't Cry. At the start of the new year, the makers of Jell-O want to thank all of you for your splendid support during the past year. And we're going to continue to do our very best to deserve it during the coming year. We also want to start our new year with a special welcome to our many new listeners in Canada. We're very proud that 24 Canadian stations are being added tonight, which will bring this program to thousands of listeners who have not been able to hear it before. So for our old audience as well as our new, we're making two New Year's resolutions. The first, to bring you the best programs we can. The second, to help you serve the best desserts we can. And you'll find that Jell-O will help you in a big way. Jell-O is so inexpensive and so quick and easy to prepare, and it tastes just grand. So here's to more delicious desserts all through 1938 with Jell-O. Cry, Sweetheart, Don't Cry, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 1938 is with us. And who do you think is standing here at the microphone waiting to greet you one and all? Is it Fred Allen?
No.
Is it Ginger Rogers?
No.
Is it Clark Gable?
No.
Is it Jack Benny?
No. I mean, yes. Hello again, this is me talking. Thank you. Well, Don, for a minute there, you had me guessing. And now, folks, before we start the ball rolling, I want to wish you all a happy new year. And you too, Don, I hope you have health, wealth, and prosperity.
Well, thank you, Jack, and I hope that 1938 will bring you a lot of happiness, too.
I hope so, Don. And incidentally, I'm going to start the new year off with a clean slate and pay up all of my old debts. Here's that quarter I borrowed from you last June when I wanted a cigar. You remember that, Don?
Oh, yes, Jack, yes, thanks. Now, how about that $10 I loaned you yesterday at the racetrack?
Well, that's this year, Don. You'll have to wait until 1939 for that. But don't worry about it, kid.
Well, I'll try not to, Jack. And by the way, what kind of a time did you have New Year's Eve? Did you step out and have any fun?
Well, Don, I hate to say this, but I spent the most miserable evening I can ever remember. Oh, it was horrible. And it was all Phil Harris's fault. Is Phil here yet?
Not yet, Jack. What happened?
Well, I didn't have anything special to do New Year's Eve, so Phil called me up and asked me to go out on a blind date. I should have had my head examined.
A blind date, huh?
Yeah, Phil had two girls. His was beautiful, but I wish you could have seen the one he picked for me. She was the homeliest dame I've ever seen. She looked like a smudge pot with rouge. A really, it was awful.
Gee whiz, Jack, was she really that bad?
Bad. That's the only time I ever saw a human Mickey Finn. I tell you, Don, if that girl gets love letters, Dracula writes them. Yes, sir.
Well, who is she, Jack? What's her name?
Dolores Del Schmutz. You know, it was the Dolores that fooled me. But really, Don, I can't describe that face of hers. And I sent her orchids, too.
Well, gee whiz, didn't that help?
Only the florist. And you know what was so embarrassing, Don? She insisted that we go to the Coconut Grove, of all places. Mary was there, and Andy Devine, too. I knew everybody in the room.
What did they do? Did they snub you or anything?
No, but it got pretty annoying when people would slap me on the back and say, ha, 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 hello, Jack. Believe me, I'm cured of blind dates from now on. Oh, hello, Mary. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Jack. Who was that orangutan you were out with the other night?
You see, Don, you see, was I exaggerating?
Well, Mary, Jack was just telling me about that blind date he had on New Year's Eve.
No kidding, Mary. Wasn't that the homeliest girl you've ever seen me out with?
No.
She was, too. You've never seen me with anyone worse than that.
Well, at least her mustache was cute.
It wasn't a mustache. She was drinking cocoa all night.
Cocoa? Say, that's a fine drink to buy a girl on New Year's Eve.
Well, I was trying to make her fall asleep so I could sneak out. You seem to be having a good time, Mary. Who was that fellow you were with?
Oh, a little jockey I met at Santa Anita. He had the best-looking bow legs.
Oh, a little jockey, huh? Was he a good dancer, Mary?
Yes, but he must have thought I was a horse.
Why?
Every time the music started, he wanted to dance piggyback.
Oh, that must have been uncomfortable, you know?
Well, I didn't mind that so much, but I got pretty tired of that bit in my mouth.
Oh, well, he didn't mean anything. At least he took you out and bought you a nice dinner.
Yeah, but when he said, let's put on the feed bag, he wasn't fooling.
Well, I can see I wasn't the only one who had trouble, huh?
Hello, fellas. Hiya, Jack, old boy. Happy New Year.
Keep it. The fine thing you pulled on me New Year's Eve, Phil, Dolores.
Are you still beefing about that girl?
I ain't writing poetry about her. What a gal. She only had one tooth.
What are you talking about? She had a lot of teeth.
Oh, yeah? Where were they?
On her charm bracelet.
Well, if her wrist ever smiles, it'll be a big help to her. And listen, Phil, as long as you invited me, why didn't you let me go out with a good-looking girl?
Now, wait a minute. We matched pennies for her, didn't we?
Well...
No kidding, Jack. Did you really match pennies for Phil's girl?
Yes, but even Lincoln was against me that night. And that not only that, after sticking me with Dolores, why did you make me pay the check? Huh?
Well, I figured as long as you were stuck that far, you might as well go the whole way.
Yeah. Well, now, just leave me out of those little parties you frame. And now that you're here, my little chum, how about playing a number?
I'd be glad to.
Thanks.
Yeah. Say, Jack.
What?
I was just thinking. Dolores would be a nice girl to take to the beach.
Why should I take her to the beach?
You could cover up with sand.
Oh, don't rub it in. Play, Phil. And now, folks.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hello.
Happy New Year, Kenny. Hi, you're a little bit late there. You shouldn't start the New Year that way.
Well, I got here in time to sing my song, didn't I?
Yes, but suppose we had moved the song up earlier on the program.
Then Phil could sing it.
I know, but suppose Phil wasn't here.
Then you could sing it.
That's right, I could.
Boy, wouldn't that be awful?
Oh, I don't know. I sang a little bit last week, and it wasn't so bad. There were no complaints.
You did not. Phil and I sang last week, and so did Kenny.
Well, I
was there, and Mary's right. You didn't even open your mouth.
Well, I...
You had no more to do with that song than Donald Duck.
Well, I...
What apology?
Now, wait a minute. At my party, when we all did that group song, in the second chorus, I sang a line, and so did Andy Devine.
Which one was Andy?
Oh, well, I'm sorry I brought me up. Anyway, I was talking to Kenny. I started to ask you what kind of a time you had New Year's Eve, Kenny. What did you do?
Well, Phil Harris called me up and wanted me to go out on a blind date with some girl called Dolores, but I wouldn't fall for that.
Oh, I see.
Gosh, I'm not that dumb. Anyway, Phil told me he'd get some other guy.
He did, Kenny, he did. I was the guy that got hooked there.
You should have seen her, Kenny. You don't know how lucky you were.
What'd she look like, Jack?
Well, maybe I was too critical. I don't know. She did have a rather nice figure, and the cutest way of fixing her hair, it was combed down over her face, wasn't it, Mary?
Yeah, but not far enough.
I guess I was expecting too much. So what did you do, Kenny? Just stay home New Year's Eve?
No, I had a swell time. I went out with my girl and her boyfriend.
Oh. Oh, a threesome. You always do that, Kenny. What's the idea?
Well, she's trying to make up her mind which one of us she's in love with.
Well, I can understand that. She wants to be sure before she takes that final step. How do you stand, Kenny?
Oh, I don't think she likes either of us as much as the fellow she's engaged to.
Oh, still another one. Say, you've got quite a few rivals on your hands.
Wait till the fleet comes in.
Mary. Well, Kenny, I hope you're the lucky man. You're a nice kid, and you deserve it. And now, folks...
Happy New Year, everybody! Hiya, Buck!
Hello, Andy!
Happy New Year! Say, Andy, I didn't think you were going to drop up here tonight.
Well, Buck, I've been all around town looking for Pa. He ain't been home since New Year's Eve. Have you seen him?
No, I haven't, Andy. I haven't.
Well, he called Ma up about 2 o'clock this morning and said he was flying to Reno to get a divorce.
A divorce? What did your ma say?
She said it was darn bad weather for flying.
Oh, your pa probably had one drink too many. He doesn't want a divorce.
Well, he better go through with it. Ma just put her wedding ring in the bull's nose.
Oh. Well, how does the bull feel about it?
Oh, he's taking the cow to Niagara Falls.
Well, that's quite a romance your pa started. Some mix-up, huh?
Say, Buck, I meant to tell you, I saw you the other night at the Coconut Grove.
Yes, I saw you too, Andy, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you, you know?
That was a nice gal you were with.
Yeah. Well, what are you laughing at? What's funny about it?
Don't follow me out, you brung her.
Well, it's a long story, and I'm not going all through that. Hey, Kenny, you better sing your song before Andy gets hysterical again.
Okay, Jack.
Sing, Kenny. You know, Andy, I've never seen you around with Miss America. I don't know...
And the sun is a-blazing, blazing down with its beams. Rolling plains, with my pinto beside me, and a lone star to guide me down the trail of my dreams. Western moon, riding high in the sky, get along, get along. Tell my love, very soon I'll be by her side to ride and ride those rolling plains, where I'll meet friendly faces wide open spaces on those rolling plains. Riding the range, singing a song, that's what I long to do. Riding the range, covered with dust, I'm coming home to you. And those rolling plains, with my pinto beside me, and a lone star to guide me down the trail of my dreams. Western moon, riding high in the sky, get along, get along. Tell my love, very soon I'll be by her side to ride and ride those rolling plains, where I'll meet friendly faces from the wide open spaces on those rolling plains, rolling plains, rolling plains.
That was Rolling Plains, sung by Kenny Baker, a young tenor who was starting out the new year in fine fettle. And now, folks...
Well, Jack, what about all those distinguished guest stars you were going to introduce?
Oh, yes, darn it, I forgot all about them, but I'll get around to it soon.
You better hurry up. One of them walked out.
Let them go. What's the difference?
Sure, what do you care?
Certainly. Why should I worry?
Wait till you look for your overcoat.
Oh. I had my lunch in the inside pocket there. Anyway, before I introduce these stars, I have a big surprise for you fellas. I mean the members of our cast, so listen carefully. Next Sunday night, we are going to do our broadcast from San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Gee, they didn't know it. Yes, and we're all going up there. We have a lot of friends up north, and we're sure to have a swell time.
Say, Jack, I know a couple of cute babies up there you and I can step out with.
Oh, no, Phil. I'll do all right. I can find my own dates in San Francisco, can't I, Mary?
You couldn't find a date in a fruit salad.
That's so. Well, just for that, don't ask me to take you out any place while we're up there.
If things get that bad, Livingston's slipping.
A fine remark to make. Now, is everything clear, fellas? We'll all be up in San Francisco next Sunday. And now, folks... Oh, darn these interruptions. Answer the phone, Mary.
Hello?
This is Rochester. I'd like to talk to Mr. Benny.
Okay. Jack, it's your butler.
Oh. Oh, hello. What is it, Rochester?
What time are we leaving for San Francisco?
Well, we're going to drive up bright and early tomorrow morning. We'll leave about 5 a.m.
If you want me to go, you better make that 7.
Listen, you'll go when I go. And we're going to drive up there in my Maxwell. So put on that chauffeur's uniform I bought you.
You mean those gloves?
Yeah. Say, how are you coming along with the packing?
Fine. I put in your sport coat, your brown suit, and your gray suit.
That's good. Now pack my blue suit, too.
Oh, you don't want that.
I said pack it.
All right, but I'm going to have trouble getting it off your father.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Well, all right, Rochester, I'll see you later. Were there any calls?
Yeah, some girl by the name of Dolores keeps calling up here 5 minutes. But I don't think it's for you.
Why not?
She keeps asking for lovey-dovey.
That's me. I mean, tell her I've gone out of town, will you? Now, finish packing, and I'll see you later. Goodbye, Rochester.
Toodaloo.
Well, I guess that settles that. Oh, Don, how about our guest stars? Are they still here?
Yeah, but a couple of them are sound asleep.
Well, wake them up, Phil. We'll call on them right after the next number. There.
dance from Babes in Arms, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are finally going to present the guest stars you have been waiting for. Each one has a distinct message for you and you and you.
Say, Buck, I think I better run along. I got to find Paul.
Oh, stick around, Andy. He'll show up.
Okay, but I'm getting worried.
Don't worry. Now, folks, as you all know, one of the most interesting subjects under discussion in 1937 was the preparation for that famous picture, Gone with the Wind, which up to the present time has not been completely cast. So tonight we have with us the only woman in the city of Los Angeles who has not been tested for the part of Scarlett O'Hara, Miss Goldie Sponge. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Sponge.
Thanks.
Now, Miss Sponge, tell me, are you a native of Los Angeles? I mean, where is your hometown?
You mean, where was I burned?
What was that?
I say, you mean, where was I burned?
Burned? Oh, born, yes, born. Were you born in Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, then where were you born?
In Pasadena.
Oh, Pasadena, I see. Now, tell us, Miss Sponge, how does it happen that you were not tested, or tested, how is it you weren't tested for the part of Scarlett O'Hara?
Well, in the first place, I'm a lousy actress.
That I can see, yes. Were there any other reasons why you didn't get that opportunity?
Yes, they didn't like my accent.
I see. Is there any other reason?
Ain't that a nerve?
I think it is. Well, thank you, Miss Sponge. You may go now.
Hey, where's that five burks?
Oh, yes. Yeah, here you are.
Thanks, jerk.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was our first outstanding personality. Mary, is our second guest star ready?
Yes.
That's good. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Say, Buck!
Yes, Andy?
I'm kind of worried. I better go out and look for Paul.
Oh, take it easy, Andy. Where could you look for him? Do you think he might be in the police station?
Not unless they got a floor show.
Oh, well, don't worry. He'll get home. And now, ladies and gentlemen, come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Are you looking for distinguished personalities tonight?
Why, yes, I am.
Well, if you need a bum, let me know. Goodbye.
Well, I must keep him in mind. And now, folks...
Oh, Jack, put my guest star on next, will you? He's been waiting so long.
Sure, Don, I'll be glad to. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our next personality. A man who ate more Jell-O in the year 1937 than anyone else on the North American continent. This man is 52 years old and has been eating Jell-O for 48 consecutive years and feels as young today as he did in his youth. None other than Mr. J. Rutherford Munch. Mr. Munch. Now, Mr. Munch, was my statement correct? Haven't you been eating Jell-O for the past 48 years?
Yes, I have, Mr. Benny.
And you feel that our product has always been tempting and delicious?
I consider Jell-O singularly distinct as to flavor and superlative as to quality.
Well, thank you. And what is your occupation, Mr. Munch?
I'm a truck driver.
Oh. I see. Married, I presume.
Oh, yes, yes. And I have three lovely children.
That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Munch, for this grand testimonial. What did I promise you for coming up here tonight?
A lollipop.
Well, here it is. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our big surprise of the evening, a sensational scoop. As you all know, one of the outstanding events of 1937 was that historical flight of those three daring Russian aviators who in one heroic effort flew nonstop from Russia to California, a distance of 6,200 miles. What a thrilling adventure. What an amazing feat. What a contribution to the advancement of aviation. Am I right, folks? The world will never forget those men. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, since we are unable to have these three Russian flyers here in person, we have instead the three Krotzmeier sisters who will sing Swing Is Here to Stay. Sing it, boys.
Swing is here to stay. You can deny it, so choose your partner and dance. And you'll find there's rhythm in romance.
That's enough, girls. That's enough, girls. That's plenty. You can go back to Russia. That's plenty, girls. That's enough. That's enough. I just wanted to know that our audience knew that we deliver the goods. Thank you, girls. Ah, folks, what a flight. What daring. What courage.
What baloney.
Quiet. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our last and most illustrious guest star of the evening, we have with us a man who on New Year's Eve was thrown out of more nightclubs than anyone in the state of California. Mr., pardon me, what's your name, sir?
Just call me Playboy Divine.
Divine?
Why, Pa, I've been looking for you.
Hello, Andy. Happy New Year.
Well, I'll be doggone. Playbill. I can find it over there.
A delicious new dessert to start the new year right, and one that you'll want to serve often. It's Jell-O Cherry Pie, one of the most unusual and delicious of pies. Beautiful crimson cherry Jell-O molded in a firm, crisply baked pie shell. And here's what you do. Dissolve one package of cherry Jell-O and chill until slightly thickened. Then fold in 2.5 cups of canned red cherries, drained and sweetened. Turn the mixture into a cold, baked pie shell and chill until firm. If you like, you may cover your pie with a topping of fluffy whipped cream. And there you have a pie that the whole family will enjoy and that's so easy to make. For anybody can make a Jell-O cherry pie and be sure of delicious results. Just be absolutely sure that you use genuine Jell-O. For only Jell-O brings you that luscious, extra-rich fruit flavor. So ask your grocer for genuine Jell-O tomorrow.
The last number of the 14th program of the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time, broadcasting from San Francisco, California. And I'd like to welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those 24 Canadian stations that have been added to our network tonight. Happy New Year to you. Are you still with us? Mary, say hello to our 24 new stations.
Hello, 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 hello.
That's enough.
Hello,
good night,
hello, hello.
Good night.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Jack Benny program on Tuned to Yesterday, heard on the 2nd of January 1938 on the NBC Red Network. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.